Bryce Frederick was a man who didn't walk, he swaggered. From the day they'd first met at the police academy, Emmett knew they wouldn't be friends, and those feelings had only worsened as he'd watched Bryce leapfrog all the other recruits, receiving promotion after promotion, while he and his colleagues had been left doing the traffic rounds, patrolling residential streets, and dealing with drunken yobbos at the city's nightclubs and bars. Now, as he watched the head of homicide stride towards him, Emmett had to consciously force his face into a pleasant expression. "Detective," Bryce's voice was far louder than required, "why don't we have our chat downstairs at Chino's? I'm in desperate need of a good coffee." Emmett rolled his shoulders back and followed the superintendent down the stairwell, out of the police headquarters and onto Spencer Street. Although his role required him to check in with his boss once a week, he couldn't see these unpleasant meetings ever getting any easier. Bryce waved at a barista as he sauntered into the small cafe and headed for a table up the back. "So," he said, before even sitting down, "any new cases?" Emmett leant in, aware the room was filled with potential snoops. "Just the one. It only came through this morning, but it's quite interesting. A large soy latte with one sugar?" Bryce cut him off. Emmett turned around to find a pretty waitress standing behind him. He felt himself sneer. "What kind of man ordered a soy latte with sugar?" "I'll have a strong espresso, thanks." After giving the woman enough time to leave, he tried again. "We're investigating a missing mother. Her name's Natalie Gibson. She left her two children, aged 7 and 4, at a holiday program on Friday and hasn't been seen since. The Flemington station were working at it over the weekend, but now it's been passed to us. It's looking very suspicious." Bryce sniffed loudly, wiping his nose with the back of his hand. "Is there a husband?" "Yes." Emmett took a sip of the espresso that had been presented in front of him with remarkable speed. "Natalie comes from a traditional Italian family and lives with her husband and children in a townhouse out the back of her parents' place." "That sounds horrendous," Bryce said unhelpfully. "Imagine living with your wife's parents." "I couldn't do it," Emmett had to agree. "But more importantly, it's highly unlikely that a mother would take off without her two young children, and the husband seems a bit rough." "What do we know about him?" "We spoke to him only an hour ago. He says he left early to go to work and didn't know anything was wrong until Friday evening, when he got a call from the sports club asking why no one had picked the children up." "Yeah, right," Bryce scoffed. "He had this terrible bruise on his left hand. Do you think there were troubles at home?" "Possibly. It does seem odd that the children were put into care during the holidays. Natalie doesn't work, and those programs can be so expensive. So what was she doing with the spare time?" Bryce shrugged. "We're hoping to send Max off to boarding school when he's old enough. It's good for children to be sent out of the home. Teaches them to stand on their own two feet." "Right." Emmett had no intention of debating the merits of boarding school. "Anyway, I'm visiting Natalie's parents this evening, and I've got Carter and Williams heading to the sports club where the holiday program was held, so we'll know a lot more soon." The loud scraping of a chair nearby caught Emmett's attention. A young man in a checkered shirt and skinny black jeans had pulled out a laptop and a set of expensive-looking headphones. He hummed as he started opening up programs and tapping away on his keyboard. He was probably an app designer or graphic artist, running his own business with complete freedom and mobility, Emmett decided, a little bitterly. "I'd normally suggest you pass this sort of case straight to homicide, but the truth is it wouldn't hurt for your unit to get a bit of a win, or at least the appearance of a win, if you know what I mean," Bryce winked conspiratorially. Emmett wondered if he should admit that he had no idea what his boss was talking about. Thankfully, he didn't need to. "I'm sure you're aware that the performance of the missing persons unit is under review, and with the expected change of government later in the year, it's almost certain that police funding will be cut." "My unit is facing the axe?" "Possibly, more likely a downsizing. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. All I'm saying is that they'll be looking for ways to cut costs, and the MPU would seem the obvious place to start, don't you think?" Bryce swirled the remainder of his coffee dramatically in his mug. "I mean, personally, I prefer the good old days, when missing persons cases were simply investigated by local police and only handed to homicide when there was clear evidence of foul play. It was a much more efficient system. But the way local stations are now, if your unit didn't exist, it would be up to my detectives to pick up the slack, and the last thing I want is some of the state's best coppers wasting time chasing shadows." Under the table, Emmett squeezed his fists. It took every ounce of strength not to react to the very deliberate sledging of his work, but he refused to give Bryce the satisfaction. That's why it would be a good look for your unit to solve one of these bigger cases, if indeed this turns out the way it's sounding. I'm happy to lend you a couple of my detectives if you need them, but I think you should be more certain of homicide before we get involved. Emmett frowned. He wanted to ask more about the funding cuts and how their jobs would be impacted, but his boss was already standing up. Keep me updated, Bryce said as he strode off. Staring dismally at the dregs left in his cup, Emmett stayed seated. He hadn't even had a chance to mention the latest on Rosemary Norman or the meeting with her brother Daniel. It probably doesn't matter. That case is going nowhere. But still, an uncomfortable worry was nagging at him. Why did these meetings always leave him feeling so small? Why, after all these years, did he still allow Bryce to wield such power over him?